Chapter 17. Corval's consciousness folded back into his flesh with an audible snap. His mind was smashed, trampled and jangling around his skull, but he was alive. He was floating through black liquid. The seals on his antique enviro suit were intact, and as he glided through the blackness, he patted himself down, finding that his body was intact too. His mind was a different matter. His third eye was trying to open, flooding his head with dazzling visions of the fortress. It was wonderful and deadly. As his second sight pierced the veils of the Blackstone, the changes in his flesh accelerated. His arms and chest were burning with a terrible itch, and he clawed at the thick rubber suit, trying to ease the discomfort. As he thrashed in the void, an image formed in all three of his eyes. A frame, white and shimmering, the lines identical to the ones on Drake's informant sketch. The vault! It was ahead of him, shining through the murk. He kicked his legs and powered towards it, struggling to swim through the viscous depths. At first, the light remained steady. Then he recalled Drake's face as he had turned to face Corval and realized he was about to be shot. Angry, hurt, betrayed. Corval remembered how he had hesitated to shoot, and as he considered the reasons why, the light fragmented and grew weaker. There were now dozens of luminous spheres floating ahead of him, so Corval swam towards the nearest. Finally, he came close enough to see that it was not lit from within, but from above. The sphere was made of something pale, and it was catching a shaft of light that had pierced the darkness, lancing down from an unseen source. The sphere looked like a moon, luminous and crumbling, half obscured by clouds. Corval reached out and turned it around. It was Drake's severed head. He jolted back in shock. His breathing became panicked, confusing his enviro suit and triggering a dizzying rush of oxygen. He kicked his legs furiously, trying to swim away from the head, and then bumped into something else. He turned to face another head, bobbing in the abyssal dark. It was Drake's again, identical to the first, except this one was attached to a butchered torso, trailing ribbons of meat through the void. Again, the pale horror was lit from above by a shaft of one light. Corval struggled to breathe, grasping at his throat. His visions of the Blackstone faded as he began drowning in the darkness. He kicked his legs and tried to make for the light. Another bloodless body thudded into him, sinking from overhead, forcing him down. He wrestled with the corpse and found himself face to face again with Captain Drake. His breathing was now so choked that his suit's controls were struggling to cope. Warnings screeched in his ears. His vision grew dark. His strength failed. The Blackstone was crushing him. "I want to live," he thought, shoving the corpse aside and kicking his legs. "I have a chance. None of this was my doing," he thought, as he swam towards the light, dodging more corpses. "It was all Drake's fault." But he was lying to himself. With every accusation he hurled at the dead captain, he became more aware of how he deceived himself and why killing Drake had only made him feel worse. When Drake had looked back at him in that final moment, realizing he was betrayed, Corval saw the truth he had suppressed for all this time. They both shared the blame. Despair gripped him. No, his own guilt was now deeper than Drake's. Drake's crime had been accidental. His was premeditated. He looked down at a sea of Drake's, dozens of identical faces suspended in a liquid grave, the light extinguished from their eyes. "I am a lie," he thought. "I have lived a lie." As he hung there in the impenetrable gloom, he realized this was the perfect chance to end things. He could stop struggling and sink down into Drake's grave, just another Blackstone mystery. What more did he deserve? He relaxed his limbs and began descending towards the bodies. He had only sunk a few feet when panic gripped him, and he kicked his legs, powering up towards the light. Even now, full of self-loathing, he wanted to live. As he swam towards the surface, he saw that the lights above him were moving. At first, he thought they were being refracted by the surface of whatever pool he was in, but then he saw that outside the liquid there was a great tumult. Vast shapes were rushing back and forth, crashing into each other, revealing and obscuring the light as they collided and fell. He broke the surface and was hit by an apocalyptic din. He was in an artificial valley, a huge, sheer-sided crevasse, split by a river of black tar. At one end, the river flowed beneath an angular archway and disappeared from view, but at the other end, half a mile away, it passed beneath a vast, blazing sphere of light, as big as a palace and identical to the one on Drake's sketch. This time, it was real rather than a vision. Towering over Corval as he drifted towards it, still gasping, carried by the black river. A horrible, grinding hum was radiating from it, like a radioactive charge, resonating painfully in Corval's head. The sphere was the source of the light, and the valley was attacking it. The walls of the Blackstone were thrashing out like limbs, hundreds of feet long, shedding tons of rubble as they crashed against the cage of light. It was as if the buttresses of a cathedral had sprung to life and began fighting each other. The limbs hit like explosives, tearing open a mine. But there was another noise, just as loud, roaring down the valley. It was like the white noise of a detuned vox. The screech of battling frequencies, battering against Corval with even more force than the sound of the avalanche overhead. As the noise jangled around his head, he realized it was more like the sound of a broken generator, electricity escaping from coils and charging the atmosphere, burning the air. He knew instinctively what he was hearing, the incomprehensible cry of the Blackstone. It was enraged, furious about the presence of the sphere, attacking it, trying to crush it with a savagery that was tearing the whole valley apart. "If the vault is the fulcrum of the whole fortress," thought Corval, "why would it attack itself like this?" He swam towards the edge of the river. As he reached the side, he saw that it was more like a canal with steep, smooth sides, too high for him to climb. He ducked as a huge shard of wall crashed into the liquid, tons of angular masonry that kicked up a wave of tar and sent Corval flailing back the way he had come. He struggled to right himself as more blocks splashed down around him, filling the air with spray. As he swam, he spied a break in the sheer wall of the canal. A narrow, vertical channel, barely wider than he was, leading up the slopes above. Corval swam into the channel, pressed his back against one wall and his feet against the opposite side, and began to slowly walk up from the liquid. Walls were crashing down all around him as the Blackstone continued battering the distant sphere, but Corval managed to force himself up the channel and finally clambered out into the featureless black plain at the base of the valley. He could feel the mutation beneath his robes throbbing and growing, but there was no time for the syringe. Vast columns were sliding from the walls, exploding as they hit the ground, causing the whole chamber to shudder. The sphere was like a fallen star, blazing through the tumult, throwing long, confusing shadows, turning the valley into a grid of blacks and whites, making it hard to see what was rock and what was shadow. Corval staggered through the maelstrom, making for an opening in the walls, a pitch-dark triangle, sheltered by a cube-shaped outcrop that had yet to be fractured by the whirling columns. As Corval ran, he felt a mixture of elation and doubt. He had reached the Oscurus vault. He was sure of it. This spherical cage of light matched Drake's drawing exactly. But the Blackstone was trying to destroy it. So was it really the heart of the fortress? Was Drake wrong? He had almost reached the doorway when a toppling column threw him from his feet, and he landed on his side with a painful gasp. The ground was still shuddering as he stood and bolted through the spinning rubble. The vibrations grew more violent, spraying cracks across the floor. Corval leapt as a chasm opened up beneath his feet, then a second, then a vast gulf opened directly beneath him, and he fell. His head hit something hard. His consciousness folded in on itself again. Blackness smothered him.